Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing, available 24/7 at ianmasters.com. And joining us now is Kamal Esaheb, who is an immigration policy attorney at the National Immigration Law Center, who engages in advocacy and technical assistance relating to state and local enforcement of immigration law and access to legal status for immigrants. His advocacy has focused on passage of the DREAM Act, implementation of the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals Program, and state and local enforcement of immigration law. Welcome to Background Briefing, Kamal Esaheb.
Thank you for having me.
And at this point, there's a lot of anger and pain and protest across the country. The only place where I see any celebration is at Breitbart, where they're celebrating a major policy win. And of course, Jeff Sessions made the announcement, not Donald Trump. And one of the extraordinary things that, in fact, I saw it on Rachel Maddow's program on MSNBC, where she did some historical background on immigration policy going back to the 1920s, when the immigration policy in this country was set by a couple of prominent advocates of eugenics. And it's extraordinary then, and then they played an interview that Jeff Sessions did on Breitbart, being interviewed by no less than Stephen Bannon back in 2015, where Jeff Sessions, then Senator Jeff Sessions, said that he sees the immigration policy that he would prefer model on the 1924 law, which again was put together by these eugenics proponents who wanted to have just a white country and celebrated whiteness. So can we make a case that there's some racism going on here, not just with Sessions and Stephen Bannon and Stephen Miller, but also the president himself, who started his campaign calling Mexicans racists and murderers, blamed Hillary Clinton's 3 million victory in the popular vote on Latino illegal immigrants voting, insulted a judge who he called a Mexican who was in fact born in Indiana, and I could go on. So at what point are we going to have an honest debate about this? Because it does seem to me that racism has played an enormous role in this current situation with DACA.
Yeah, well, to us, it's clear that when you look at what this president has said and what he has done, you know, whether it's keeping people from coming into this country based on their faith or putting a wall between our country and our neighbors to the south, you know, who are Latino, or when it comes to taking immigrants who are here, DACA recipients, or others who are undocumented and who are, you know, predominantly from Latin and from South and Central America, but also from places in the world like Asia and Africa, and saying you're going to try to deport them all, you're going to hire an army, a deportation army, to deport them all. I mean, it's clear to us that, you know, that is fundamentally driven by an idea of keeping America, white, making America white again, you know, as one of the folks who is a leader of some of the anti-immigrant organizations, John Tanton has advocated for, keeping America a European American, majority country. And so for us, I think that at its root, you know, all these policies of rounding up brown people, of taking dreamers and telling them that they need to make their travel plans, of putting a wall between our country and our neighbor to the south, of saying you can't come to the U.S. based on how you pray. I mean, to us, all of those things are fundamentally rooted in, you know, this idea of trying to keep America looking a certain way.
Well, Republican Congressman Steve King of Iowa said about the rescinding of DACA, they came here to live in the shadows, and we're not denying them that opportunity to live in the shadows. So that's sort of laying insult on top of cruelty, isn't it?
Yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, let's talk a little bit then about what's happening. Some of the states are filing suit. Is there a legal remedy to undo? Because the legal excuses given, the fig leaf that Sessions has offered, and actually Sessions not just offered a fig leaf, and so did Trump, about the state attorney general, is largely the attorney general of Texas driving this. But Sessions, in his statement announcing the rescinding of DACA, also conflated these DACA recipients with criminals and terrorists, which is the opposite of what the truth is. In fact, they've proven to be the model immigrants that Senator Cotton, when he recently trotted out his idea for a new immigration policy, the DACA recipients would fit into that kind of model. So a lot of lies and a very flimsy legal fig leaf. So what is the legal situation here? Because this was a political act out of necessity that President Obama felt he had to do. So could you deconstruct their legalistic arguments?
Yeah, so a couple of things on that. And the ironic thing, about Sessions' questioning of the legality of the program is that, you know, hours after Sessions talked on and on about how the program is unconstitutional, the president tweeted, if Congress doesn't get it, you know, doesn't enact DACA into law, I will revisit the issue, which makes you wonder if you thought this was an illegal act by President Obama to begin with, what are you revisiting, you know, if Congress can't do it? So to me, Sessions and Trump are trying to hide behind the courts. But the reality is the DACA is a program. It's actually been challenged before. Those challenges didn't go anywhere. The program that Sessions has talked about, DAPA, which is a 2014 program that is similar in some ways but different in others, was enjoined by a single district court judge in Brownsville, Texas, and it was upheld by the most conservative Supreme Court in the country. And in fact, four judges in that circuit court, in the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, heard the case, and two of them sided with the past administration, and two of them sided with the states that were challenging the program. So the idea that this is a program that's unconstitutional is absolutely ungrounded. And in fact, just last month, over 100 law professors wrote a letter to the president explicitly laying out the case for why DACA is, in fact, legal. So Attorney General Sessions said what he had to say in order to justify their decision, but in our view, it's, you know, the legality of the program is absolutely clear, and not to mention the fact that this is not, I find it a bit laughable that this is a president that is talking about the Constitution. It's not a president who has, it's not like we have a president who's consistently acting in accordance of law. In fact, we saw with the Muslim ban, we saw how court after court has struck that down for being unconstitutional. We know that Sessions and Trump have talked about how sanctuary cities are, you know, lawless places that are in violation of the law. And again, court after court, just in the past few weeks, have dealt them losses and have, you know, shown that their statements were untrue. So both Sessions and Trump aren't credible sources when it comes to what's constitutional and what's not.
Well, let's just in the last couple of minutes, Kamala Sahib, talk about the lawsuit filed by 14 states in the District of Columbia on Wednesday against President Trump's decision to roll back DACA, along with the Washington State, New York, and Connecticut, New Mexico, Illinois, Hawaii, North Carolina, Oregon, Rhode Island, Delaware, Iowa, Pennsylvania, Virginia, and Washington, D.C., all signed on. And it seems to be that the basis of this case is similar to the Muslim ban, which various courts and appeals courts are overturned as well, need to say drafted by the same person, Stephen Miller, that they were unconstitutional because they singled out targeted Muslims based on their national origin, and that the evidence was used by the judges, particularly here in the Ninth Circuit Court in California, was that they all they had to do was go back to the campaign and have Trump talking about Muslims. The Muslims are coming. The Muslims are coming. Well, is that going to be the same argument here from these 14 states in the District of Columbia, that Trump has said all these terrible things about Latinos?
In part. And I think, you know, these are all, you know, relevant things that, you know, we need to look at when we assess the motivation behind, you know, the administration's decisions. And, you know, that lawsuit, which relates to a lawsuit that we and some of our allies filed yesterday, challenging the elimination, you know, the end of the program, are going to be part of the fight that we're going to put up on behalf of Dreamers whose lives have been, you know, appended, you know, by yesterday's cruel decision. But ultimately, the answer here is going to be in Congress. Ultimately, Congress is going to have to act and find true stability for the 800,000 people who have DACA and their millions of family members. And there is bipartisan support in Congress for enacting something like the DREAM Act. Both Republicans and Democrats have openly expressed support for a law that protects Dreamers. And there is support among the general public for having Dreamers stay here, live here, continue to contribute, and ultimately get citizenship. And that support crosses the political spectrum. And it's there even among people who voted for Trump. So I think ultimately we're going to fight this battle on all fronts. We're going to fight it in the courts. We're going to fight it in public opinion. But ultimately it's going to be Congress that's going to have to act and enact a permanent solution for this population.
And I think the Dreamers and their supporters are going to fight it in the streets, aren't they? Aren't there going to be a lot of demonstrations? There already have been a number.
Absolutely. And, you know, we've already seen that in the last 24 hours, and I think that's only going to continue and get amplified over the next days, weeks, and months.
Well, Kamal Esaheb, I thank you very much for joining us here today.
All right. Thanks so much, Ian.
And again, I've been speaking with Kamal Esaheb, who's an immigration policy attorney at the National Immigration Law Center, who engages in advocacy and technical assistance relating to state and local enforcement of immigration law and access to legal status for immigrants. His advocacy has focused on the passage of the DREAM Act, implementation of the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals Program, and state and local enforcement of immigration law. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com. You can also contact me, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now. Bye.